Glad to hear that. Boy, glad y'all agree with me. It is a good morning. Open up your Bibles to the book of Jude. Happy week after the 4th of July. How about that? I'm so glad to see these decorations still up. That's a blessing. And my thoughts have been toward that way this week, and felt like last week when we finished up, it just was a lot undone. And so the Lord led me back a little bit in that direction today. We're going to look at a few verses here from the book of Jude to establish our thought this morning in regard to us personally as well as to our nation. And if you believe what we talked about last week, the fact that God was involved in the founding of the United States of America, then you'll have to believe also that God is going to be responsible for sustaining the United States of America. Amen? And so we'll talk about that a little bit more. We hit all the positive things last week, and now maybe we'll see why we have the situation that we have today here in our land. And so let's pray one more time. Father, we pray in Jesus' name, God. You just open up your word to us, Lord, and open up our hearts, Lord, that we might receive the truth, that we might rightly apply it to our lives, Lord, that it would make a difference, Lord, in our families, in ourselves, and Lord, even in our land, we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Jude, verse 5. We're going to go backwards a little bit. And we're going to focus in on just five through seven today. Look at verse 5. It says, I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterwards destroyed them that believed not. Now, I'm not going to change the Bible, Brother Black, but let's just in our mind here, change a couple of words in our mind, right? Let's just go and say, he says that once you knew how the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of England, we'll just say out of England instead of Egypt there, okay? All right, so we can apply this to ourselves. Afterwards, destroyed them that believed not. I'd say that's fitting. Where we are today, unfortunately. God brought a people out of the land and He established a new country here. And we saw last week that the Lord, He dictates rulers and nations. He brings them up. He takes them down. Nebuchadnezzar came to that conclusion, Lord, that the Lord was in control after his 7 years in the field as a beast. And so we're going to focus on that today. But look down in verse 6. It says, and the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation. I think America has left some things, wouldn't y'all say? He hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for unto the judgment of the day. And even Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner giving themselves over to fornication. I don't know if that's happened in our land. What do you think? Yes, most definitely. I mean, is this not fitting in our time, right? And are going after strange flesh. Yes, again. And are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. So let's apply this to ourselves, first of all, to our families, and then to our nation. Amen. We are definitely, I believe that God had set us apart, a group of people, and chosen this land to give it to them that they might glorify Him here. That was God's intention, I believe, in the founding of this country, and certainly He has used it greatly to take the gospel around the world. Amen. And I thank God for that, right? But I also know that, unfortunately, as the Israelites in their day, once they were delivered from bondage, once they were delivered from slavery by a mighty hand, after this, they were destroyed. Because of what reason? Unbelief. Unbelief. I'm going to show you that's our foundational problem here in our lives, in our land, in our families even, is this issue of unbelief, because that's really the foundational issue that leads to these other issues. And I have to think that if God were willing to do this to His chosen nation, the nation of Israel, how much more so this Gentile nation which God has chosen to raise up and to use, right? God hath brought us out, as we saw last week, out of really persecution and by mighty signs and wonders. Working of God and through storms, we saw how He moved the pilgrims north, and then we saw how He miraculously convinces the king to somehow just release the Puritans to come into this land, establish their own laws, their own leadership, right? And how we had the providence of God working even through George Washington, preserving him in those French Indian Wars so that he might lead our nation through the Revolutionary War. Many, many, many things God has done that obviously are according to His providence. Amen? But, and by the way, here's the biggest thing that He did. He gave us the truth. He gave us the King James Bible in our language. Amen? And entrusted it to us, and to gave us men to preach it. We talked about that great revival and the great awakening in America, where God raised up men, even some of them come over from England like George Whitefield and those guys, to come over here and preach the gospel, that He might establish this nation upon a solid rock and a solid ground. I like the way you put that, brother, in your book, and I'm looking forward to the class tonight, that, you know, if there's no final authority, there is no ground to stand on. There's no solid ground for the church, no solid ground for the preaching, Brother Justin. You can't go confidently into that jail down there in Harris County and preach to them men if you don't have a firm foundation to stand, and neither can I. And so we see that, unfortunately, things have changed here in our land tremendously. But I'll say this. You know, in Ezekiel's day, the Lord, in Ezekiel 22:30, the Lord said that He was searching and looking for a man. Y'all remember? A man. Looking for a man that would do what? He would stand in the gap. And it says at the end of that verse, for the land. God's still looking for that, by the way. He's looking for a man, He's looking for a person that will stand in the gap for that, for this land and for our country's sake, but more so for ourselves, our families, and really our way of life, and most of all for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for what He has done, and for that He deserves the glory here, amen, from us, our families, and our land. So, we're looking for somebody to stand in the gap. And so let's talk about some things that we can do maybe to be that person that can stand in the gap. And before we do that, I think we're going to have to identify really what went wrong here maybe in America. Amen? And so if God founded America, yes, and we believe that by faith, right? And God is also the only answer for America. It's not in a person other than the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Only God can save America. Amen? Just like only God can save a person. And by the way, any nation is just a group of people. It's set aside with some common things in common, right? And hopefully pushing towards some of the same intents. That's what we might call culture, right? And so the answer is we have to go back and figure out where we went wrong. And I'm going to tell you, maybe somewhat surprisingly, probably not, your Bible students, you already know this, but I think the number one thing that caused America to turn away from God was literally the blessings of God. Prosperity. Now, prosperity is a great blessing, but it's a horrible guide and a horrible goal. Y'all understand where I'm going? So if it becomes the priority, Brother David, amen, instead of the result of the priority, which was obedience, what God said is you'll have this, okay, if you obey me. And when, and He did bless America, and I was up in Irving, Texas this weekend for a conference, and we're on this beautiful Westin Hotel, and we're looking. I was standing at these windows, you know, all the way from top to bottom, and I'm looking out across there, Brother Terry, and I'm going, wow, man, I mean, all this new development up there and these buildings and this lake they built running through there. And I said, indeed, God has blessed America. But now, unfortunately, the blessings have become our God. They've become priority, and that's the problem. And so blessings are great, but they cannot be the goal. Amen? And Deuteronomy, let's flip over to Deuteronomy 28. I want to just see this with you here. These men that came to this land, they believe this. I believe it. I believe that obviously he's talking here in Deuteronomy 8 to the 28 to the nation of Israel, but the principle is true, okay? And by the way, the blessings of the Lord, they rain and shine upon the just and the unjust, amen, if they obey God and obey scriptural principles. Look at chapter 28, verse 1. And it came to pass. It says, and it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord. That diligently, that's constant, steady effort, right? This is not a one time and done. This is continually looking diligently to obey the voice of the Lord. It says, thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And you know, besides America, Israel is the only other nation that ever prospered at times like we have. I mean, it's incredible what God did in the nation of Israel when they obeyed him. But you also know he brought them low too. Amen. They had ups and downs based on this principle here of whether or not they would do all his commandments. Look at verse 2. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee. And if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Verse 3. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Verse 4. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, and the increase of thine kind, and the flocks of thy sheep. Boy, I'm telling you, blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. And it goes on and on and on. I look at that, the fruit of your body, you're gonna multiply, you're gonna have children. You're going to have your gardens are going to grow. You're going to have food. You're going to have cattle, livestock. If you obey, if you do all my commandments. So what happened? Well, when you get your eyes off of the producer of the blessings and onto the blessings, you forget about the obedience. I looked up the word in the book of Proverbs, riches. And I looked up rich. And interesting, some of them overlap. Some verses have both words in there. But there's 16 verses that have the word riches in them. And there's 16 verses that have the word rich in them. And it's about, on riches, it's about 8 and 8. 8 are blessings and 8 are warnings. Or watch out for this, you know. And so we'll look at a couple of those. And on the rich, it's actually even more so. It's about 9 and 5, with one being neutral, or a couple maybe being neutral. But it's definitely almost twice as many going into the negative side, the warning side of rich. So let's take a positive verse. Let me just read this to you from the book of Proverbs. It's Proverbs, one of my favorite verses, Proverbs 22:4. It says, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Amen? Now, from that verse, what was the goal? Or what was to be desired here? Was it the riches, honor, and life? Or was it by humility and fear of the Lord? See, if you seek after riches, honor, and life, you're not going to get the first two. If you get the first two, then God promised you the last three. Amen? Are y'all following me? So in other words, it's like, what's our goal? What's our destination? What are we striving toward? If we get this verse turned around, we're in big trouble. I'll give you another one from the same chapter, chapter 22, but this is verse 16. Listen to this one. It says, he that oppresseth the poor increase his riches. That's what he was after. He got that. It says, and he giveth to the rich. But it says, shall surely come to want. If riches is your guide, if it's your priority, then sin is sure to follow. And what do I mean by sin? Well, it doesn't mean necessarily an immoral sin like we might see later, like fornication. But what it does mean is that any time that God is not our primary, if we don't love the Lord thy God with all of our heart, if we're not seeking after Him, that is sin. And he that doeth knoweth to doeth right and doeth not, to him it is sin. Okay, so in other words, if we get this out of order, now let's see how this plays out in our lives. Let's think about this for a minute, okay? So now I've got to consider my next job or my next job promotion. What's that going to involve? Now, well, it depends. Now, if your priority is right and you say, is that going to affect my worship and my service and my devotion and dedication to the Lord, or is that going to get me more in my pocket? What should be your first consideration? Lord. Thank you, brother. Because if I get that turned around, I might get the other one, but I'm sure going to be in trouble in the long term, right? You know, because so we have to get this into the proper order. Let me just give you a couple more of those things we should be seeking after. We saw humility and the fear of the Lord. How about this one? And this is a great verse regarding riches and rich. It says, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. So when the Lord prospers you, there's no sorrow with that. Man, in the world's prospering, there's tremendous sorrow. If you don't believe me, just look at the most wealthy people, and most of them are miserable. Many of them divorced, their families are a mess, they're addicted to things, substances and such. Some even commit suicide, unfortunately. And they got everything the world says we're supposed to go after, because they got it out of order. Here's another thing that we should be striving after other than riches. Number one, so we saw the humility and fear of the Lord. Here we saw the blessing of the Lord is what we should be seeking after. And we get that by obedience. Next thing is Proverbs 23:4 says, labor not to be rich, cease from thine own wisdom. So again, we should seek labor, we should seek work. Because why? Because work is to glorify God. That's what we do, that's why we work, okay? That's what Colossians chapter 3 teaches us. We don't work as unto men, we work as unto the Lord. Right? From whom, on verse, that's 3:23, but in 3:24 it says, from whom we have our inheritance, we have our reward from Him. Right? You're hoping you get the check from your boss, right? Because you certainly need that, okay? But your blessings come from the Lord. Amen. Now He might bless you through your boss if you're a blessing to Him. Here's something else we should seek after. Amen. Look at this. Proverbs 28:20, it says, a faithful man shall abound with blessings, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. So didn't seek after riches. What did we seek after? We sought after faithfulness, being faithful, and then the God blessed it and raised us up. Let me give you a couple about wisdom. Listen to this. There's tremendous blessings for seeking after wisdom, but wisdom is what you seek after, not the blessings that come from it. Look at this. Proverbs 3:16 says, length of days, you want a long life? It's in her right hand. That her is wisdom. It says, in her left hand is riches and honor. So you got a long life and you got riches and honor, but what are you seeking after? Not those. Wisdom. Y'all with me? Hey, Brother Raphael, good to see you. And then let's look at the next one here. It says in Proverbs 8:18, it says, riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. Amen. That's what comes from seeking the right things. That's what comes from seeking wisdom. Are y'all still with me? Amen. So what happened in America? Well, prosperity caused America to, number one, become prayerless, then passive, and then ultimately profane in their behavior, amen, and perverse in their behavior. And so by the early 1700s in America, most Americans, a lot of Americans, were living at a quality of life above what their counterparts in England were already living at. And by the time it got to the Great Awakening, a lot of Americans were living better than all of Europe. And here's the problem with that. How do you think they felt about it over there? Well, that's why taxation ramped up. That's what actually ended up causing the problem, because they realized after they were over here fighting the French that they said, hey, these guys got it really good, man. These guys are really prospering. They're loaded, right? After having really decades of, they just really didn't have anything to do with America except for just trade. They weren't really that as involved. They saw, man, this ain't right. We spent all this money here on this war. Of course, it was their war, not ours, and they claimed they were protecting us, but they weren't, and they were just getting land from France, okay? But they were fighting France. But they said they should help us pay for it. And that's where things like the Stamp Act came in and other things, and that ultimately ended up leading to the Declaration of Independence. But my point here is that envy will always come. And there was a guy, anybody know who Willie Sutton is? Willie Sutton in his day, I think he died in like 1980. I think he was born around 1900. In the early 1900s, he was a very well-known, notorious, will I say, bank robber. He robbed several banks, and sometimes he got away with it, and sometimes he got caught. But the problem was, even after they locked him up and turned him loose, he still went back out and robbed banks again. And they asked him, Willie, why do you keep robbing banks? And he said, that's where they keep the money. So there you go. If there's any accumulation of wealth, there'll always be somebody trying to steal it. Amen? Yeah, you just got to realize that. And so that's what happened here. And that's kind of how we ended up where we were. But this wealth, that wasn't ultimately the problem. The problem was what the wealth, the impact it had upon us and upon our thinking. Let's look at this issue of passivity. How did passivity come about? Well, it came about spiritually, and it came along about also in the home. Amen? And so let's focus in here a little bit about what we were talking about unbelief. Because ultimately, I believe that all of these things boil down to unbelief. Because if we know anything about, if we know God and anything about Him, then we know that the Lord is, He owns everything. And He moves it around as He chooses. Okay? And so therefore, instead of us seeking the worldly way and method, we should be seeking God Himself. Because He ultimately has all the resources. He can move them around however He wants. Amen? So that's, I think, the unbelief and forgetting that God is ultimately in charge here. Go to Proverbs chapter 30. I think this is some wisdom here from Agur here in Proverbs chapter 30. Look what he says here in verse, let's start with verse 5. Love this. We'll be talking about this, I hope, tonight, I'm sure. It says, every word of God is pure and is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. Well, praise the Lord for that. Your Bible is a shield for you. If you put your trust in God, that means you believe His Word. You put faith in that, then it is a shield for you. And look at verse 6. Add thou not unto His words, lest He reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. Don't make up things about God and what He said that He didn't say. Then verse 7, it says, two things have I required of thee. Here's the wisdom we're talking about. Deny me them not before I die. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. Was that not some wisdom? You know what he said? He said, give me what I can handle, Lord. Give me what I need. Just make sure that whatever it is, Lord, that it wouldn't make me sin against your name or not need you anymore. I'd say, who is the Lord? I don't need the Lord. You know what I'm saying? And it could go either way, Brother Craig. You know, you can get high-minded and think that we did something when we didn't. Or we can get so desperate sometimes and forget that God is ultimately in charge, and then we would actually steal, take something that wasn't ours, that God hadn't given to us, that we didn't earn. So, wisdom, be content. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 6. Y'all still with me? 1 Timothy chapter 6. So 1 Timothy chapter 6, let's start at the beginning of the chapter, verse 1. It says, Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and His doctrine be not blasphemed. How are you supposed to treat your boss? With honor. Is that just a good boss? You might want to read over there in Peter chapter 2 or 3. I can't remember, but no, to the froward as well. To the bad boss, you're supposed to treat him with honor. That's how God gets glory. He says, and we don't want to blaspheme God and His doctrine. And look at this, verse 2. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them, because they are brethren, but rather do them service, because they are faithful and beloved partakers of the benefit these things teach and exhort. Well, that ought to be obvious. We ought to treat our brother with honor. And we ought to work hard for both the lost man and the saved man. But how much more we want the saved man to prosper and to bless. You know, I like to do business with believers, because I know if they're faithful believers, brother, I'm going to be able to give what I'm spending with them. Part of that, they're going to give to the Lord and His work. Amen. That encouraged me. I like to do business that way. You know, hey, that's what the cults do, isn't it? I mean, think about it. The Masons, the Mormons, you know what I'm saying? They do that. Because they're trying to promote their false doctrine. How much more so us to promote the true gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? What if it costs more? Probably works out to your advantage in the long term. You know, think about it. If they're a good brother and they do a good work, you should probably pay them more. And if you do, you should probably be happy about it, because the Lord's work is going on. Verse 3. If any man teach otherwise, consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. Look at this. He's proud. He knoweth nothing. He's doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railing, evil surmising, perverse disputing of men, corrupt minds, destitute of the truth. And here you go. Supposing that gain is godliness. With such, withdraw thyself. I think he just called out the wealth, prosperity gospel. Did he not? He just called it out, straight out, right there. Those guys, look at how he described them. They don't know anything. They're proud. They're just doting about. They stir up envy, strife, railings, evil surmising. They're perverse. I mean, there's so many things he says about them here. He says at the end, from such, withdraw thyself. Get away from that person that thinks that gain has anything to do with godliness. That doesn't tell you nothing. You better look a little deeper than that. And then it says, love this verse, right? But godliness with contentment is great gain. This is what God's looking for. Can we be content? I don't have time to go there today. We're already running out of time. Y'all are taking up a lot of my time already, but that's okay. Philippians chapter 4, you should read that on your own there, verse 10 through 13. If you want to get verse 13 in context, you need to read those verses 10, especially 11 and 12 before you get to 13, because when he says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me, well, number one, it says which, okay? So you ought to go back there and see what he's telling you. You didn't say who strengthens me. You need to go back and see what he's talking about, and you'll see it was that truth of God takes care of me when I'm blessed and fat and when I'm starving and hungry and sleepy, amen? He takes care of me, and that truth sustains me. It strengthens me that God is in control. And he says, Paul said, therefore, whatsoever state I find myself, there I am content. He said, Brother John, he learned that. He said, I learned to be content. Amen. It's not something you just naturally get. It's something you got to learn as God works in your life and brings you through some of these difficulties. Amen. And so, Prosperity was the downfall of America because they became passive. And they became passive also in their prayer life. Extremely passive. And at the beginning, you know, when the first Continental Congress met, they couldn't get anything done. And they said, hey, we need to get somebody to pray. And they got this French dude, evidently. He's got a Duché, or either he's before the Cajun. He might have been a Cajun before his time. But he prayed. And when he prayed, they said, he read Psalm 35, and then he prayed. They said, John Adams said, he wrote to his wife, said, I ain't never seen an effect like that come upon a group of people. He said, God was in our midst. He said, everybody was touched and moved by that. And Benjamin Franklin even said when they got to, after the war, and got to the Continental Congress, he said, man, we prayed through the war. Now we think we can figure this Constitution out on our own. Maybe we ought to go back and pray. How about that? We got difficulties in our life and we're trying to figure it out. Maybe we ought to go back and pray, Brother Mike. We ought to go back and start with that, right? And what about in the war, you know, when the Valley Forge, you know what I'm saying, when that Reverend, that Puritan Reverend Potts, I believe his name was, saw George Washington, heard him out there praying. He said, man, I ain't never heard a man pray like that. He said, God's in this thing. And God heard. You know what it says? If God, we know that God hears us, then we have the petitions that we ask for. Amen. That man believed that day that God heard. And so we started out our country with this, but unfortunately then we got blessed, we got rich, we got prosperous, and then we don't have any needs. So don't be a crisis prayer. Everybody prays in a crisis. You know what they say in foxholes, there's no atheists, right? Everybody's calling out to God in a war. But what about when we're not in a war, but somebody else is in a war? There's always a war going on, by the way. You just don't always see it. A lot going on behind the curtain in the spiritual war world, in the spiritual realm. And by the way, we spend, I think, not that we shouldn't pray for those that are struggling. I've asked for prayer for my son, Dennis, many times. And some people asked me about Peter, and I said, yeah, pray for Peter. He's living on his own now, and he needs your prayers. But you know, what about those that are doing the will of God? They don't need prayer. What about those that God's using? They don't need prayer. Yeah, I mean, I'm going down to the chiropractic college this Tuesday. Y'all pray for me to speak to a group down there to try to make a difference down there. Samuel's been used down there. Pray for him, you know, and it's a blessing, you know. But don't forget, you know, and Faith, she wants to teach music to the next generation how to glorify God in music. Pray for those that are doing right. I mean, don't pray just in crisis. We don't need to be that kind of person. But also, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 says, who are we supposed to pray for? Those that are in rule. We're supposed to pray for those that rule over us. Why? So that we can live a peaceable life. Amen. So that we can worship God. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. You get that, Samuel. Read that for me. For all men. And then verse 2. Kings and all that are in authority. So pray for all men, but don't forget to pray for your kings and for those in authority. How many of us in the last week have prayed for anybody in authority in our land besides President Trump? Thank you, brother. Thank you, brother. Not very often. We need to pray beyond President Trump, although we certainly need to pray for him. But man, what about your representative? What about your senator, your governor? What about the Supreme Court? What about Clarence Thomas? Amen. Does he need our prayers? My goodness, he's in a bunch of wickedness, you know, trying to lead in darkness. So pray for our country. Pray for our leaders. Pray for those. And then what about, I think that we also became passive in parenting in America. And this is what I mean, especially in the area of education. Education is important. I mean spiritual education. Well, I already told you how we started out in America. The Bible was the textbook. Amen? And then we got the New England Primer and the Blueback Speller and these other books that came along that used the Bible to teach things, right? It was Bible verses, Bible stories, Bible principles. Now we've given our kids over to wickedness. If you go into public school today, you can't even teach creation as if it were a possibility. But you can teach evolution as if it's science. Which it's certainly not. It's at best a theory. I don't even really qualify for a theory. It's religion. It's philosophy. It's just like everything else in life. You know, you have to believe both of those by faith. Ain't nobody here when God created it all. But at least He wrote it down for us, and we got a book to read about it. And they're still guessing how it got started. Still arguing about it. Nobody knows. So, our education, our passive parenting. I certainly have a burden that our kids would grow up to know the Bible. That's why it's important to have them in church. Have regular devotions with them. Have a regular time in the family. And if possible, maybe you need to spend more time actually teaching them yourself if you can. Or if not, at least. Not every school is the same, by the way. Some people, there are some good people in some schools. But the philosophy, the system itself, is totally against the Lord. And it does, it starts from everywhere, from elementary up to university. And it gets worse as you go along. But also, we've been passive in our parenting our children about behavior, respect, honor, purity. Amen? I think one of the worst things that you can do today, if you want to damage your child, is give them a cell phone. I'm just going to be unpopular here today, and that's okay. I don't mind. Give your kids a cell phone if you want to really hurt them and really destroy them, then give it to them. And the earlier you give it to them, the more damage you'll cause them, period. I cannot believe that a 13-year-old needs a cell phone. I just cannot imagine that in my mind. I can't imagine that a 15-year-old needs a cell phone. I don't know when you need a cell phone. I know for me, I didn't get one until I was in my mid-30s. I don't know how in the world I ever made it. My kids were 17. And even that, I'm not sure, you know, if that was wise. To give them a phone with a computer, basically, that they walk around with in their hands, one thing to be able to communicate. It's another thing to be able to get anything information you want at the touch of your hand. Can you imagine how much power that is? I mean, how mature. If your kid can't take the trash out without being told, you think they're ready for a cell phone? Come on. Help me a little bit here. Am I being unreasonable? We think our kids are ready for that, but they can't make their bed in the morning. You got to go check and see if their room's clean. Nope. No. They're not ready. They're not going to be responsible. They're going to hurt themselves. You can get anything on there, and there's images you get on there you can't get out of your mind. You'll be chasing those, and they'll be chasing you for decades, if not forever, the rest of your life. It's hard to overcome some of these things. And that leads me to my next point, is that perversion. In our land, we've become perverse. Pornography is rampant in the church. Not outside the church, although yes, it's there too. In the church, right here in this room, there are people that are struggling. In this church, right here, good churches, there are people that are on, that are viewing pornography on a regular basis. They're in a bondage to it. They're addicted to it. And a lot of it started because of video games, where they got soft porn, people wearing bikinis. I don't know what that has to do with the game where you're killing somebody or whatever, you know, hunting deer, and you got a naked woman prancing across there, whatever. But our whole society is it's horrible. I mean, I have never, nor will I ever, since I was a born-again Christian, and before I was born again, this store didn't even exist as far as I know. I've never stepped foot in a Victoria's Secret, nor would I ever, nor have my sons. What in the world are we doing? I don't look that way when I walk down the mall, last time I was in the mall. What are we doing? We wonder, have we possibly been affected by our culture? You think that's possible? Maybe, just a little bit. And now the church is overrun with this perversion because we've become passive. We don't read our Bibles. We don't study our Bibles. We don't believe our Bibles. We don't separate ourselves like we need to be separated. The gay agenda is pushed everywhere. And by the way, fornication is just about accepted now in the church. The average church today is pretty much accepted. I hate to say that, but it is. So what are we doing? Let's see what we can do. Let's talk about this. I'll say this, you know, back in our day, in my day, you know, before cell phones, when my kids were coming up, it was the TV, right? So I watch out for the TV. You know, well, that was one of the best things I did was just get rid of that. I remember we built this house and then we put all this nice entertainment system in, entertainment, okay? Indoctrination, maybe more so, but anyway, whatever it was, put the TVs in, surround sound, all that stuff, you know, had really nice, and then the Lord started dealing with me, and I just cut everything off. Those things just sat there, and all we did was dust them. I turned off we had no media coming into our house. Matter of fact, when Jamie was in high school, you may remember Jamie, she's probably embarrassed by this, they called me, and they would say, "Would you please get on the internet? Everybody else has got email. We want to email you stuff." I said, "We don't need it. If you want to call me, just call me. Okay, we don't need it." But that was one of the best things I did. I regret now. I don't know if I should have brought it back. You know what I'm saying? I remember, Brother Jeremy, we had this little 13-inch. I think it's when the Texans started playing or something. I don't know. Where's Brother Dean? I had this little 13-inch TV with rabbit ears and tinfoil on it. Because all of our big TVs, they were all hooked up to stuff and it wasn't turned on. So we couldn't even get no antenna. We couldn't get no signal on that. So I got this little bit, and that's like I'm watching that. And I wish I'd never done that. I don't worry about that anymore because NFL's gone so woke, I don't watch it anyway. But I'm saying the cheerleaders are half naked, so and the commercials are horrible. You know, unless you got some way to just keep it on the game, you got a lot to look out for. I'm saying there's things that happen, guys, okay? And we need to be aware of this. So, God save America. If He does, it'll be because of us. It'll be because we stand in the gap. And so here's the three things I'm going to ask you to just write down and remember to take action. Number one, take action in your home. Train up the next generation. That's it. That's the most important thing. If we don't take action right now in our lives and in our homes, we're done for. Second thing is pray for your leaders by name specifically. And by the way, also vote. Okay? Don't just pray for them. Vote them in and vote them out. Mostly out. And then number three, participate as much as possible in your culture. In your yes, politics, they matter, wherever you find yourself. You know, one of the most important things today is the local school board. You know, people don't think that matters. That matters. Some of y'all that work in public school, you know how much that matters. Amen? Is that who's on there? Are these people of character? Or do they believe in biblical principles? You know, and by the way, God might be wanting some of you to get involved. Some of you might need to be on the school board. Not that I'd wish that upon any man, but somebody's got to do it. Y'all with me? Appreciate y'all listening this morning. It's what the Lord laid on my heart. America's in trouble. But it's because our families are in trouble. And individuals were in trouble. And so the only way that's going to turn back, it's not going to turn back from the top down. It's going to turn back from the bottom up. From the individual up, from the individual homes, the individual churches, beginning to seek after God again and follow these biblical principles. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the good class this morning, the attendance, and Lord, the attention to your word. Pray, God, it have its effect on us. Lord, you know every situation. You know what they need to do, what I need to do, Father. May we just have an ear to hear, I pray, and a will to obey. Lord, use Brother Green today. Bless him real good, Lord, to speak to us and help us. And Lord, Brother Roger as well over there with Brother Laird in Mississippi in that church. Lord, may they be strengthened. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.